Hello and welcome to Ordinary, a podcast that aims to help Christians live for Christ in everyday life. My name is Josh Bannister and each week I'm joined by Graham Nichols and Mark Bentham, who are both pastors of Christ Church Haywards Heath. This week on the podcast we're talking about Bible reading, but wait, don't switch off. It's not going to be 30 minutes of guilt tripping as you listen to two perfect pastors talk about how many hours per day they spend reading the Bible. Graham and Mark help us see why reading the Bible is central to the Christian life, and we talk honestly about some of the roadblocks that we all face when trying to be consistent with reading. And then we share a few tips and techniques we use in our own lives. So without further ado, let's get into it and I'll catch you on the other side. And yes, that is now officially my catchphrase. You want to start, Mark?
What do I say?
Hi, I'm Mark. Welcome. Have you not listened to any of the podcasts?
I forget what we've done. Hi, I'm Mark Bentham. I'm one of the pastors at Christ Church Haywards Heath.
And I'm Graham Nichols, one of the pastors as well.
And I'm Josh Bannister, and you're listening to Ordinary. This week we are talking about Bible reading, a fundamental part of the Christian life, guys. Why are we spending a podcast talking about Bible reading?
Well, I think before we do that, there's an important question to ask about whether you, Mark, read the Bible this morning.
Well, it's 20 to 10 now as we start. So I want to say, yes, I did read the Bible this morning twice. I read it. Well, I know. Thank you. I read it once on my own, three times. I read it with my family in part, and we read it with the elders.
Wow.
Thank you.
Good grief.
Thank you very much.
Well, that mean that you have a special place in heaven?
Does that mean you're three times holier than me?
Thrice holier.
Well, we know in the Bible, isn't it? Holy, holy, holy means that things are. Therefore, on that basis, I want to say yes. But that would be a lie.
I think it's you can ask me the same question in a minute, but I think it
you
speaks up.
You want us to, don't you?
Only because he read for 6 hours. He was up at three this morning reading purely because he knew this podcast was coming.
How did you know? I did actually wake up early this morning.
I told you.
I think it points up that I did read the Bible this morning. I read the last chapter of 2 Timothy and a little bit into Titus. But I think I would not feel terrible if I hadn't, because I think it's more about the general pattern than about some kind of legalistic kind of thing on the day. So I would always try to, but let's be honest, there are days when I don't.
Well, that's interesting, because actually my Bible reading this morning, funnily enough, was 1 Samuel 15, where Saul refuses, he doesn't kill all the Amalekites. Yeah. And Samuel comes to him and he says, oh yeah, but we kept all these sheep and stuff because we wanted to sacrifice to the Lord. And Samuel says to him, yeah, but what does the Lord prefer? Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as much as in obeying the Lord? And it's really easy, I think, with this issue is that we start to think that as long as I've done my Bible reading tick, I'm okay for the rest of the day. It's like my ritual, my religious ritual. But actually what the Lord is interested in is my obedience. So am I living for Christ throughout the day? Now, the way in which that then happens is partly I'm encouraged by my Bible reading, so that's why it's important, but we don't want to make it a ritual or a legalistic kind of I must do, and therefore, once I've done, I'm okay. Yeah. But there is great benefit in it. Let's not move away from that.
Hmm. I think coming all the way back to the why, it's because we see the value of God's word as the way that God speaks to us primarily, and that the only way we're going to get access to God speaking to us is by actually reading in some way or other, or having read to us the Bible. So that's why we think it's a good thing to do. And I think because there's a general sense in the particularly the New Testament that there's a kind of there's daily devotion, daily exercise of prayer that Jesus does, and it seems it's something to be carried on in the New Testament church, that something like daily Bible reading is a good idea. There's no text somewhere that says you must read the Bible once a day, but I think it's part of a pattern of saying this ought to be a regular kind of teeth cleaning type of thing, that it's a regular part of my routine. And I did clean my teeth this morning too.
Praise God. there's so many insights this morning.
Yeah.
I guess the question I think is, why would you not do it when we have the access to it? You know, in today's, you know, why would you not do it? Now, obviously, there's reasons why we don't in time, but in terms of developing it as a habit, why would you not want to try and build this into your life? You know, when you think of how the psalmist speaks of God's word, you know, Psalm 108 talks about delighting it. It's like honey. You know, it's good for you, isn't it? So why would you not want to build that into your life? Yeah. And particularly, you know, we hold, you know, to a high view of Scripture. You know, it is sufficient. It is has all that we need. The whole of Scripture is pointing to Christ. It's helped me to understand who Jesus is better and what it means to follow him. So why would I not want to do that?
Yeah.
Well, let's explore that question. What are some of the barriers that stop people from making that a regular part of their life, do you think? I mean, I know what stops me in my life.
Go on then.
Well, I think that often I struggle because I feel at times, what difference is it going to make? You know, if I get up extra early today, if I spend 10, 15 minutes reading this passage, how is that going to change things today? And you start believing that it's not going to, and that actually that time will be better used doing something else. I think that's a challenge. I think there are many others, but we can just talk about that one to start with.
Yeah. I suppose in a way you know the answer to that, that it does change things. But it's kind of trying to tell yourself the answer, isn't it?
Mm.
That and sometimes it doesn't immediately change something. So your particular reading that you did this morning, because you kind of forced yourself to do it, you don't suddenly think, oh, wow, yeah, that thing on 2 Timothy 4, I can immediately see an application for it, and you know, it's 11 o'clock in the morning, I'm already using it. Isn't that amazing? But I think it's about diet. It's about over time, the diet builds a healthy body in terms of food eating. And I think over time, the diet of Scripture builds a healthy spiritual life, which is sometimes imperceptible what you've taken in and what principles you're using and what bits of Scripture you're suddenly remembering at the kind of the appropriate moment. And I think it's hard to just plot a line to say, there was a truth, oh, I applied it. Here's another truth, I applied it. There's a promise, I used it. It's more like you've got a whole worldview that's constantly being kind of enhanced, which then is being applied in all kinds of situations. So I think that helps with that question.
Yeah, so I agree with all of that, absolutely. But I want to slightly push back, because I think part of the reasons why we don't feel the benefit is because I think we... behind our thinking is this sense of, I have to do the Bible reading. Yeah. So therefore, I don't get the benefit out of it, because actually what I'm really doing is I'm just going through the process so I can tick the box and move on. Whereas you think about how the guys, the reformers and all these guys of the past, they would talk about meditating on it. You know, they would talk about thinking about it and spending time dwelling on it, which therefore means, look, we believe the Word of God is living and active and is a double-edged sword. Therefore, if I'm reading God's Word and I'm prayerful about that reading and I'm starting to just try and think about how that, you know, how does what I've read kind of connect with what's going on in my life, in my family life, in the life of the church, you know, the Lord will begin to make connections. So in other words, it kind of overcomes that sense of, well, I've just done the reading, I'm moving on, there's nothing for me today. Because I think actually as I ponder and think and chew and pray about it, the Lord begins to make those connections in my life that actually, even if it's not right in that, as I think about it through the day, you know, do I come back to what I've read this morning and think, actually, you know, that's I can see how that connects in with what's happening right now in my life. So I think there is always benefit each day, but I think that because we've moved into this sense of I've just got to do it tick box, that I lose the overall benefit that comes from it.
Yeah. Can I do a yes but?
Of course, please do.
Yes, I agree with all of that, as you agree with all of what I said. But also, I think if it's part of a relationship with God through Christ, then it's not so much something you derive a benefit from or even thinking about that. You're just thinking this is a natural part of my interaction with God. And so when you're talking to someone you love, like your wife or husband, you don't really think so much, what benefit am I getting from this immediately? Because it's part of building the relationship. So I think it's helpful just to keep pushing back on...
Absolutely.
It's It's something we want to do, we desire to do.
Yes.
And things that you delight really want to do and delight to do, you don't really think about what the benefit is, because the benefit, in a sense, comes from just the delight in doing it.
But in the sense of the way in which it grows in terms of my relationship image, is that at the end of the day, I'm now speaking to my Creator and my Heavenly Father, and His word always shapes me more than my words ever shape Him, of course.
Yeah.
And that's part of what's going on, isn't it? Is that is the relationship. But as I sit under His word, He, as my Heavenly Father who loves me, either corrects me, encourages, rebukes, challenges me, but He's also shaping me through His word and as I pray. And I think sometimes we lose that. We end up into an intellectual exercise, or I've just got to understand the passage, rather than actually, you know, fundamentally, God's word is what created in the first place and is now shaping me as well in how I think, what I do, how I respond, and allowing that to happen.
Yeah.
You're looking like you're kind of, oh.
No, I'm with all that. I'm with all that. I was more thinking that we're both quite enthusiastic about it, and on our best days we are. But, you know, for anybody listening, we have the same struggles. We sometimes think, what's the point, to be honest?
Do you think we overthink it sometimes? I think that's been the case for me, that actually if we believe the Bible is powerful and that God's a living word to us, that we don't need to come to it thinking, I need to get something out of this, I need to get something out of this. We just need to simply read it and allow it to do its work in us. That it's a simple thing at heart.
Yeah, I think we do overthink it. I think we're sort of just basically lazy. Hopefully people are listening to this podcast. People listen to loads of other podcasts, devote quite a lot of time to it, and they won't kind of think, well, what was the actual benefit of that? So if you think about...
So Graham, there's no benefit in listening to this podcast.
No, but they'll be thinking that.
Really?
About a number of things they listen to and, you know, programs they watch, you know, things they scan on Netflix while they're eating their dinner or whatever. And so...
They're just doing it.
And if you think at some level, as a Christian, even at a tiny level, this is more valuable, you're not really going to analyze too much, you know, what's the benefit. You're just going to think, this is what I need to do. But bear in mind, anyone listening, you know, we have our own struggles too. It's not like you should be listening and thinking, oh, these guys are so enthusiastic, and they obviously, you know, read 3 or 4 chapters a morning every day, and they never fail, and, you know, they can joke about it because they're so secure in it. You know, we have our days, we have our really dry periods, where it's a real struggle. You know, this week I was reading something. I was talking to someone in the church about it. I read something and I thought, I didn't take that all in. So I read it again. I thought, I didn't take it all in that time either. So I kind of gave up in the end because I thought, I'm just not. It's nothing's happening.
Yeah.
It was a bit earlier in 2 Timothy, and I thought, I've read 2 chapters and I have not. I couldn't tell you what was in there. And I even tried reading it out loud, and I still couldn't remember what I was doing. So you know, we have those times too. Maybe a couple more objections might be worth thinking about.
Yeah. You know,
a couple more reasons why we don't.
Yeah,
like,
go on.
Time.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same excuse we made for prayer, I think, when we were doing that podcast. But time is definitely one where we might think, we've got such a busy day, we've got something, we've got to get into work early, we've got plane to catch, train to catch, children to pick up, whatever it is. And so just the pressure of time. And then that combines with the, well, it won't make much difference if I just miss this one. And so I think, you know, that's definitely a pressure. I don't know if you guys feel that sometimes.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I mean, there's always the pressure of time, isn't there? You know, there's always the sense of the urgency. You want to just get on. So I think time is certainly a factor. I think folks as well think it's just too hard. You know, I need my pastor to explain it to me. On Sunday, I get it, but when I'm trying to read it on my own, I just don't get it, and so give up. You know, those particularly tricky passages, or folks try every year, don't you? They say, right, January comes, I'm going to read through the Bible, and what happens? You start off really well in Genesis, you fly through Exodus, story's exciting, and you hit Leviticus.
Yeah,
and
I've been there.
Yeah, Leviticus mid-February, and that's it. You know,
the
game over. I reckon around the world, every year there are those around February, March time who hit Leviticus, and that's it, giving up. Or if you persevere through Leviticus, you hit Numbers, and that's it. Yeah, the first few chapters, and I'm just reading the names. You're like, I just can't even say these names, let alone read them. You give up. And I think there is a sense where it just becomes hard to understand, hard to keep going. And of course, we're in a spiritual battle. Satan doesn't want me to read God's word, does he? So he's going to keep putting all those blockages, ideas, thoughts in my mind.
So while they're helpful antidotes for both of those things, perhaps with the time thing, that is there any helpful
we're moving into why.
Well, we don't want to just bring up the difficulties and move on, yeah. Do we?
No, I think with the time one, it is a matter of discipline and priority and sometimes just resetting. I think if you've been a Christian any length of time, you will have had periods where you slow down or stop reading the Bible as much as you should. And sometimes there's no point kind of analysing too much. You just have to reset and say, okay, this has not been a great year or 6 months. I need to reset and have a different discipline. I need to change the time, do something different, get it on my phone, get it off my phone, whatever it is, and kind of reset. So I think there's no other answer really other than saying this is priority. You know, maybe on that given day it was the right decision because there was the New Testament animal in the pit kind of idea that you have to get the animal out of the pit, as Jesus says on a Sabbath. You know, that sometimes there are those moments where you've just got to rush somewhere. But you reset and you say, okay, that's not the pattern of my life. I want to reset the pattern and make sure I find some time. Most of us are going through transitions in life as well, where the kind of time we get up sometimes changes. I don't think I've got up the same time most of my life. You know, it's kind of moved around a fair bit. So that then you have to recognise that. You know, if we're in families, sometimes what our spouse or children are doing changes. So then we have to kind of recognise that. If we've got children who grow up, the time they go to bed changes. So there's all kinds of things that change and we have to kind of keep resetting. But you're right, we are getting to the how a bit. Was there an answer to what you were saying about
difficulty, understanding?
Just that it's hard,
well,
understanding.
I think we, in God's goodness, particularly for those listening in kind of the UK or the US, that in all honesty, there's just so many good resources out there now, yeah, that actually there's good Bible notes, really accessible kind of commentary style things that actually people can use. That actually, I think that the hard question in terms of understanding it is more a block than it is can be a reality. I think in the sense of there's such good resources that actually I don't think the hard one can be used as an excuse. I think you just need to find the right Bible notes for you. And I think there are really good things out there. And we can suggest some. And I think there's some really good, interesting, these days, the commentaries, there's technical ones, but there's actually really readable ones that really help people understand what's going on in the passage. And I think all these things are tools that we just need to avail ourselves to. You know, stuff is on our phones these days. So, you know, there's not an excuse. You can do it whilst on the train to London. You know, read your Bible with your notes. So I just think we've just got to take advantage of what we got and use it rather than kind of hide behind it. You know, ask the Lord for help.
Yeah. I think I've never been described as a historical nerd, but Mark did that this morning earlier on. And just the historical perspective is that
geek moment
it's just
fun, you know, facts of Graham.
It's just I read something this morning about it. There's the big change, which was the printing press and the fact that there were Bibles being printed and then Bibles being printed in native languages and particularly in English. So we live in a real kind of privileged generation who've got the Bible in our own language, accessible, certainly for the last 100 years or more, accessible in our own homes. So that's a kind of massive thing. Some people might say, well, that's quite new and unique. You know, for a lot of church history, that hasn't been the case. But I think during the good times in church history, they were following the kind of synagogue and Old Testament pattern, which would be regular public reading and memorizing of scripture. So although they didn't have, you know, scrolls in every home with all the Old Testament books in, they would have had it so committed to memory. So that's why in the New Testament, you know, the apostles and Jesus are just quoting scripture from memory because it was they'd so learned it so well. You know, so to those who say, well, you know, this is just a recent thing, you can say, well, okay, well, let's do the Old Testament and early New Testament thing and go and hear it publicly read regularly and memorize loads of it if you don't want to do it morning.
Well, Deuteronomy 6, you know, yeah, yeah. Impress them on your children and talk about them when you sit at home. So yes, in order to be listening to God's commands in that way, you must have it.
Yes.
So on your mind, quite so. In so that yeah. you're able to just, hey, let's talk yeah. On the road, quoting scripture yeah. to your children.
But I think positively, so I think there's no reason to say, well, because it's different now, you know, you're just imposing this kind of model just because you've got the Bible. I think rather positively, we say we just happen to have been born in a generation in God's providence where there's loads of resource, Bible's freely available, lots of different English translations and lots of tools that we can use with it as well. And so we've got to take full advantage of them and say, you know, God's given you what all this stuff, what are you going to do with it? So I think that's worth thinking as well.
Let's just talk practically for the last few moments and kind of thinking through. Just why don't you share a little bit about what you do in your kind of Bible reading and your situation?
Yeah, so I think that at the beginning of this year, 2019, my wife and I sat down and kind of thought about how we could spend more time thinking about biblical things, thinking about our faith together, and talking about the Bible, talking about general issues to do with faith. And I think that's something we struggled with for all of our marriage, really. And we wanted to basically break down all of the preconceptions about how you should do this in your family. We wanted to try and start from zero, forget about what we did when we were kids, individually and with our families, and just think, what would work for us? What is going to be helpful for us? And I think we came to something that has been really, really good so far this year, which is that we kind of, we choose a chapter. Well, we spend a chapter in Luke. We'll read that and we'll listen to a podcast that we've chosen on. It could be anything, could be an issue in
ordinary.
It could be ordinary. No, it's never ordinary because I'm sick of it. It could be a podcast by Premier or Gospel Coalition or something on a topic, or it could be a sermon, or it could be on a specific issue. And what we'll do is we'll come together once a week on a Wednesday evening, and we'll talk about the chapter we read, and we'll talk about the podcast and the issues, and we'll do that over dinner, and then we'll pray about it afterwards. And so that's been, we haven't done that perfectly so far throughout the year, but that's been really good for us. I think that because for me, I know that I get I start to go through the motions very quickly. If it's a sit down, let's read this, let's talk about it. I get really stale very quickly. I need time to think about something, and then to come together and talk about it after you've thought about it is really helpful for us. And so there's separate Bible readings that we don't talk to each other about necessarily as well. But for us doing it together, we found that to be quite a useful. A useful way, and I'm sure there are myriad other ways that people do it.
So that not take quite a lot of time. It sounds quite
time-consuming. Well, a podcast could be an hour and a half. Right. We've got a week to do it. Remember, so we're only reading one chapter and listening to one podcast a week.
Right. You're not listening and reading together at the same time.
No. So we'll do that separately. Think about it for a few days, and then come together and talk about what we've read and listen.
Then pray.
Yeah.
Sounds good. Yeah.
What do you guys do?
So I just said so I read the Bible on my own, and I mix that up a bit. So sometimes I use a commentary. I found the Preach the Word series really helpful because they're effectively a collection of sermons or talks that other pastors have written that are then. So I sometimes use that. At the moment, I'm using some Bible notes called Table Talk that comes out of the US and is it Legionnaires, how you say, ministries. And I found them really helpful. They've got a load of articles in them as well. That
Legionnaires is a disease. I think it's Legionnaire ministries.
Legionnaire, that's what I said. Yes. That doesn't sound quite right. But I found them really helpful, really just enjoying using those as notes and thoughts that go with that. And then I would spend some time praying, and I use Prayer Mate as part of that and praying in the truths of it. So that's what I do myself. As a family, we try, and we don't, again, please don't hear this and think that the Ventham family has this perfectly every day. But we try most mornings to around breakfast to read the Bible. So I will, at the moment we're using, so I said we read the Bible, actually we didn't actually read the Bible this morning because we're using the 40 Days of Mission books that have come there. So we're just kind of reading about a country, what's going on in that country, and then praying for that country. And it takes, I don't know, five, seven minutes. In the run-up to Easter, we were doing the Easter book, and prior to that, we've used some of Martin Machowski's stuff, particularly his parable, his Proverbs one, which was really helpful. So we just spend 5-10 minutes. So that's what we try and do as a family, and we try and do that most mornings, particularly weekdays. It gets harder at weekends due to kind of other commitments, you know, church on Sunday and getting ready for that. But we try and do that at least most weekdays, and if we can at the weekend. And then Roz and I will then, because we'll then try and pray together, particularly just before bed in the evening. We're using those little really helpful books, 5 Ways to Pray. Have you come across those? Good book company, really. 5 Things to Pray. And they have some
but
scripture.
It's something like Five Things to Pray for Our World, Five Things to Pray for.
That's it. And we're using the Five Things to Pray for Our Children at the moment, and they just have some a Bible verse and some things to pray. And so we just kind of do that. Again, it doesn't take, don't make it sound like it's a half hour thing. It's probably 5-10 minutes of just kind of trying to pray together, praying for particularly our children at the moment, but other times we'll do other stuff. And again, it's not perfect. Please don't hear that. These guys are looking at me again. We know that, Mark. We know that it's not perfect. We know that's all we're trying to do. We don't necessarily hit every day, but we're trying to establish those kind of patterns where we can.
Yeah. I'm reading through a Bible reading plan, a two-year one, that actually is generated by a local minister here, a guy called John Hobbs at Grace Church. I've done lots of them.
Shout out to John Hobbs.
Yeah.
We're going to get him on the podcast sometime.
Yeah. But he's done a very helpful two-year plan. So I read the whole Bible in 2 years.
Okay.
Interestingly, in the Old Testament, in the Jewish scriptures, they used to read through the whole of the Old Testament in a year. Anyway, that's just a by the way.
Another geek fun fact moment.
We need a sound effect.
Yeah. I'm not even a geeky kind of person. Yeah. That's what's ironic about it. Yeah. But maybe
all these
I am.
Listeners are thinking, really?
Yeah. I've tried the Bible in 1 year. I think Bible in 1 year is quite a challenge, and you end up just skimming. I think 2 years is just about manageable, at least it is for me, in terms of it's kind of two chapters and a psalm most days. What's quite funky about this one is it has one proverb. So it has one proverb, or a couple of verses of proverbs sometimes, and then a kind of major section, and then a psalm or a bit of a psalm. So it's quite a variety just in one sort of reading pattern. And sometimes the proverbs, I think, wow, this is really good. So that works well. So I do that. That's pretty reasonable quality in a way, because you're sort of accountable. So and what's quite fun about this program is that it's a 5-day program per week. So you get the weekends off.
Do you know what? I've found that the most the programs that go for 5 days are the most helpful, I find, because of the fact it gives you some flexibility.
Yeah.
So that if you get all five during the week,
you
then get a bonus read on the Sunday, whatever you want, or Saturday. But if you miss one, you can catch up over the weekend. So you never feel like those ones where you're 7 days and you feel like you get a couple of days behind. And then you're like weeks behind, and then you're like, oh man, give up.
Give up.
So I do that, and then just because we're almost out of time, but I try, and this is not so regular because of mine and Caroline's, that's my wife's sort of working pattern, is that we try and do, we're working through Tim Keller's book on Proverbs at the moment. So we, read the proverb, there's a little bit of commentary on it and a prayer that goes with it, and then we pray together. So that's what we try and do together. But, to be fair, that's hit and miss on us. We have a week when we do it every single day. And then sometimes we have a week when we do it one day, So it's a bit hit and miss. We have to keep kind of resetting on that and saying, look, you've got to get up slightly earlier, or you've got to not take the dogs out then because it's not working. So that's what we do. And just to say personally, I'm also trying to, I'm reading a book called Preacher's Catechism. So I'm trying to read sort of the kind of books where you can just read a little bit of. And I'm often using one or two of the Valley of Vision prayers as well. To kind of as part of the sort of process. So just to say, I'm rushing now because we're near out of time.
I think it's just one of the things to help is underline all of this, isn't it? Is that all of these things are good patterns to try and establish, but none of us hit them every day.
No.
So I was just reflecting. It sounds really good all that we're doing, all we're trying to do, but it sounds like we've nailed it, and we haven't. Yeah. And I think it's just really helpful to to keep saying, look, this is what we're trying to do. We don't hit it every day. But it's good to think through what is it you want to do. A friend of mine, it's better to aim for perfection and miss than to aim for nothing and hit.
Yeah.
And I think that's true with Barbara. You aim for something, and if you then hit it, most days all you hit is better than having no pattern or trying to establish nothing.
Yeah. And I think coming back full circle to what we said at the beginning, we've got to consider it a privilege and a delight, and then all these kind of techniques will be what we love doing because we think this is what we want to do, so we're going to figure out ways to do it. Rather than, I feel so terrible, I've got to do it, otherwise I'm going to feel bad about myself. It's all about, how much do we want to know? And in a way, it becomes self-fulfilling that the more we read the scripture, the more we delight in God, and the more we want to. So, we just want to encourage people to want.
I think at some point we need to do a podcast on family devotions as well. Because I think it's one of those arts that we've lost, and You know, they are. Sometimes they can be real pleasurable, and some of the time they're really hard work, and some of the time you just got to keep going.
Thanks for sticking with us till the end. Hope you enjoyed the podcast. In a couple of weeks' time, we're hoping to do our first Q&A podcast. So if you have any questions that are related to the podcast we've done so far, or completely random, that's fine too. You can email us at ordinary@cchh.org.uk. Thanks for listening. Check back in next week for a new episode on forgiveness.